Blog Talk Radio.
I looked at that interview. Excuse me. My name is Yamsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. I looked at that interview and I was quite impressed with the mother. She's a very intelligent woman. I was quite impressed with the father. I believe he said a prayer in Hebrew. He had the right position because the mother was praying to Yahshua. But I believe he was praying to Yah. I was quite impressed with his sisters. I'm always impressed with Ben Crump, the attorney. I was impressed with Salvin, the attorney, the white attorney that said if it was me, it would have never happened. They would have never shot him in the back. I was as impressed about the situation all around. But even with that impression, I had the same impression with George Floyd. And here we go again with Jacque Blake, the mother's only son. You know, it's just a sad set of circumstances. And the children, his three sons, which were in the car during the shooting, the fellows are traumatized, I can imagine. And the grandfather said the children were asking him, "Why, granddaddy? They shoot my daddy in the back." And that's the very question that we ask. Was that necessary to back shoot someone? Not only to back bushwhack, what we call it, bushwhack someone, but to shoot them 7 times? Where you sever their spinal cord and shoot holes in their stomach, where they had to remove the colon and the lower intestine? I would simply say what the sisters said. We're not animals. We're humans. Yes, we certainly need devotion, not that way. Let's get into our studies, okay? We need some devotion. May the Most High bless you by the reading and studying, and most importantly, the application of his word in your lives. We're in the second chapter of Genesis, the very beginnings, our very beginning. Humankind, very beginning. And if you got there, let us get started in our reading, okay, in our study. Then the Elohim Yah planted a garden eastward of in Eden. And there he put the man. He didn't make the man there, but he put the man there, whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Elohim Yah made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden. From there, it parted. Became four rivers here. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bethlehem and the ox stones are there. And the name of the second river is Gihon. It is in the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. And you know the whole land of Cush means it looks like us. That whole land was the land of Cush, not Africa. And the third river, Hatikva, it is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. Fourth river, Euphrates. Then the Elohim Yah took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it. He gave him some chores and then to keep it. And the Elohim Yah commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you should surely die. In the spiritual sense, longevity won't be a part of your life anymore. See, man was meant to last forever, but that longevity was taken away. And the Elohim Yah said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'm tired of him sitting there eating all them fruits, moaning and groaning, walking there by himself, all shook up and everything and whatnot. I will make him a helper comparable to him. No, he didn't say a slave. He didn't say a footstool. He didn't say someone you could boss around. He didn't say someone you could hit in the eye and lie and say, I ain't going to do it no more, and you do it again. A helper, a equal, comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Elohim formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam. Now, Yah didn't name the animals. He let Adam go. This fellow taking care of business. He's the one that's tending the garden. Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature. See, our forefathers named these animals. That was his name. So Adam gave name to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. You know, see, man was meant to mate with anything and everything. And because man is not meant to mate with everything, just cause your dog wag his tail at you and snooze up against you, that don't mean you're supposed to coach your dog, man. Just cause your sheep come bad up to you and nuzzle you, that don't mean you're supposed to get freaky with your sheep. And, you know, and so on and so forth. You catch my drift. And the Elohim, Yah calls a deep sleep. He gave him some puffball, Yah's puffball, the one that Michael Jackson used to take putting to sleep. The Most High went into surgery. The Most High is the best skilled surgeon in the world. And he put him into a deep sleep, just like these surgeons do today, to fall on Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs, then closed him up in his place. That's why we ain't got a full set of ribs, because Most High took one of them. Then the rib which the Elohim Yah had taken from man, Adam, he made into a woman. And he brought her to Adam and said, look at her, look at her, look at her. And Adam said, oh, man, she's something else. Now, this is the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. And Adam named her woman because she was taken out of man. You don't know what women named from. Adam named women. He called them women. See, Adam named everybody. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother when you get married and be joined to his wife, and they shall become like one in flesh, symbolic. And they were both naked. And the man and the woman were not ashamed of their nakedness, because they hadn't ate out the tree. They didn't know they was naked. They just walking around just like babies do. Babies don't know they're naked. They're innocent. Adam and Eve didn't know they were naked because they were innocent. So they made them a big mistake. And that mistake caused all of us a whole lot of problems. Well, I'm going to bring my brother and friend on, Cartrell from New York City. I know he's got something to say about this. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, brother Yom Sufari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, brother. I appreciate that.
I think you covered all the bases very well, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really much room for more analysis, because
okay.
Except for the fact that your book starts like in the your book started from the eighth verse,
right,
in the second chapter in my book,
right,
because your book didn't start out with this. My book starts out and it says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array.
I think
by
you know
the
what
seventh day
let me see let me go back
Elohim had finish the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because he, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done.
You know what? You sure right, brother. You know, I'd missed them eight verses. I started right at the garden. And go finish up, since you're going to start at me, because I'll finish up that eight verse. My apology, listeners. How can you, man, my thinker broken. I don't know how I missed them eight verses. Thank you very much, Cottrell, for pointing that out, brother, and I sure appreciate it.
And that first one is important, because most people think that Sunday is the seventh day, which is why they made Sunday the day of rest and not what we call Saturday. But if Sunday is the first day, why y'all, you know, taking that as a day of rest?
Right.
Most rested on the seventh day. And he don't call them by names. He called them the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, and the seventh day.
He didn't
give them no specific names. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
We make everything hard in the country.
No question about it. Most are keeping it simple. He said the seventh day. And probably by all accounts, we didn't really know which day is the seventh day, the way they've changed the times and the season.
Yeah, they always mess with something.
Now, I'm going to give you an example of it, because December, DEC represents the number 10.
Right.
NOV represents the number 9.
Right.
Octo represents what?
Eight. Really?
So why is October the 11th month when Octo is representative 8, Nove is representative 9, and DEC decimals, the Dewey Decimal System is represented by 10, right?
Exactly.
And don't even talk about September, because September is 7, right?
Right. I thought September
was the 9th month.
I thought the word September was supposed to represent the number 9.
No, it's supposed to represent 7.
Oh, okay. All
right. Unos, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, siete.
Right.
And you get ocho, siete.
Oh.
So when you look up the root of sep is 7, octo is 8, nove is 9, and DEC is 10.
Okay.
So you know that all the months are off.
Yep. Well, they keep everything off, because they off. I'm not surprised. Well,
so it goes on to say in the fourth verse, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when Elohim, Yah, made earth and heavens. So they go science right out the window. And in the first and second chapters, as we go on, we're going to continue to see how science is debunked. Right? We're going to see. But right here, we debunk in science, because they talk about Big Bang. And we didn't see no Big Bang in the first chapter, right?
No.
Osa was hovering above the water.
I didn't even see a little bang.
Not even a little bang. But there was some banging going on. You probably just ain't hear it, because you wasn't born.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know. But anyway, he said, now no shrub had appeared yet on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for Yah had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then Yah Elohim formed man from the dust of the ground. It's the second time he's letting us know that. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So we see the process here. It's all playing out. Now Yah had planted a garden in east of Eden. That's where you started out.
Exactly. Thank you, Cottrell. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listeners, that's why it's good to, what did the book of Proverbs say? Two is better than one. And certainly you can see it worked out well in this case, didn't it? I'm going to tell you. Well, listeners, let us continue in our studies. We're going to the last book of Habakkuk. After that, we will be starting at Zephaniah. We'll keep on keeping it. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and Job. And we will continue on our studies in the beginning. I don't know what Cartier is going to go after some. That's his call. I don't tell the grown man what to do. You know, a grown man quite equal on his real tough real people study. So he know what he's doing. So I don't need to tell him nothing. Because y'all need all the study y'all can get and then some. All right, let's turn to the third chapter of the book of Habakkuk. And we're going to get started, okay? May the Most High bless you by the reading and studying of his word. This is the prophet's prayer. The prophet Habakkuk makes a prayer. The prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Shigonot. Oh, Elohim, I've heard your speech. I was afraid. Oh, Elohim, revive your work in the midst of the years. Make it come back again. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Whatever you lay down on us justifiably. Remember mercy. Yah came from Teman, the Holy One from the Mount Paran, Shelah. His glory covers the earth, the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand. And there, his power was hidden before him with pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. Yeah, we got a little bit of it right now, fever. He stood and measured the earth, and he looked and startled the nations. And everlasting mountains were scattered. Perpetual hills bowed down. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of the Cushans in affliction. The curtains of the land of the Median tremble. Oh, Yah, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation? Your bows were made ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows, Shelah. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the waters passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted his hand on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went, the shine of your glittering spear. You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, your salvation with your anointed. You shook the head from the house of the wicked, by laying bare from foundation to neck. You thrust through with their own arrows the head of his villagers. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was feasting on the poor in secret. But you walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones. I trembled in myself, that I may rest in a day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Finally, it says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flocks may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet through all that, Habakkuk says, and Yusha said, through this killing and this mistreatment and abuse of us from the cradle to the grave and every aspect of our lives, to the killing of us, Yusha said like Habakkuk, through it all. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up on you, Yah. Yet I will rejoice in the Elohim. I will rejoice in the Yah of my salvation. I think I missed that up. Because it's I will rejoice in Yah. I will rejoice in the in Yah, and I will rejoice in the Elohim of my salvation. I think I got that right. The Elohim Yah is my strength. Where is your strength? Is your strength in an AK-47? Is your strength in a political organization? Is your strength in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue for Yamsuf Arif? I think not. As Habakkuk prayed, so is my prayer called out. The Elohim Yah is my strength. Whatever the circumstances, he will make my feet like deer feet when I need to get up and get. He will make my feet be able to get up and get. He will make me walk on high walls, even with this arthritis in my back. To the chief musician with my string instruments. I want this sent to the chief musician with string instruments. Man, that's deep. Cottrell, my brother and friend, your commentary.
Yes, sir.
Your commentary.
This is more than a prayer. This is like a vision that he's having of the future when Yah brings judgment in the earth against
exactly.
the nation. And
exactly.
his prayer is really like, have mercy when you bring this judgment on the earth.
Exactly.
Because this hasn't happened yet. It says he shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the aged hills collapsed. But his mercy
and the sun and the moon stood still.
Yep. That's going to be some kind of day.
Man, that's going to be some kind of day.
He's looking at it. He's seeing it. It hasn't come yet. He's saying, I heard my heart pound. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nations invading us. So this day hasn't come yet. He said,
nope.
Even though the fig tree doesn't bud and there ain't no grapes on the vine, and the olive crop fails and the fields don't produce no food and there's no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, even with all of that, he says, I'm going to rejoice in Yah and be joyful in the Elohim of my salvation. How about that?
Now, that's what's happening.
Yes.
Now, you know, like the young folks said, contract, that's what's up.
That's what's up for real.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why he can stand like that? Because the last verse, he says, because Sovereign Yah is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread in the heights. So only Yah can give us that kind of strength and ability.
You know
which he did to our ancient fathers in the days of old, with Shimshon, Samson, King David,
mm-hmm.
and all the mighty men. Yah will give
exactly.
us power as long as
exactly.
we are in tune with him.
Exactly. Well, that was nice, Katya. That was informative and very interesting. As usual, I know, brother, in our study session, you have a wonderful song for us to finish out on. And we are all ears.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Thankful for my ancestors, King David, King Solomon, Moshe, all the prophets, and even the sons of Korah. Because in these songs that they wrote, which you're going to read Psalm 45, they have a very pertinent message for our people. And they follow the same path as King David. But they're coming from the Levite aspect, which is like the priestly house. So, praise Yah.
Praise
Yah. My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. You, that sound like rappers today, right? You know
what
you just said? My
yeah.
tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. That's what we call rappers today, right?
Rapping, brother. Rapping.
He said, I recite my verses for the king. We know brothers are spitting verses out here. Right?
Yep.
And it comes exactly. like the pen of a skillful writer.
Exactly.
You are the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace. since Elohim has blessed you forever. He's talking about the king. Gird your sword on your thigh. Yes, on King David. You mighty one, clothe yourself with splendor and majesty, and your majesty ride forth victoriously in the cause of truth, humility, and justice. What's the cause?
Truth, humility, and justice.
Let your right hand achieve awesome deeds. You can't go into battle being fearful. Let your sharp arrows pierce the heart, king's enemies. Let the nations fall beneath your feet. Your throne, O Elohim, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, Elohim, your Elohim, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. All your robes are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From palaces adorned with ivory, the music of strings makes you glad. Daughters of the king are among your honored women. At your right hand is the royal bride and gold in the gold of Ophir. Listen, daughter, pay very careful attention. Forget your people and your father's house. Let the king be enthralled by your beauty. Honor him, for he is your lord. The city of Tyre will come with a gift. People of wealth will seek you your favor. All glorious is the princess within her chamber. Her gown is interwoven with embroidered garments. She is led to the king. Her virgin companions follow her, those brought to be with her. Led in with joy and gladness, they enter the palace of the king. Your sons take the place of your father. You will make them princes throughout the land. I will perpetuate your memory throughout all generations. Therefore, the nations will praise you forever and ever. Hallelujah. So we know the king had it really good because he probably got the best selection of the prettiest women in all the land. And she was decked out. She was ready. She was prepared.
Yeah, he said, and one thing struck me, he said, forget your people.
Your family. Got to cut them family ties. You in the palace now. You a princess. You ain't no common girl no more.
No. Grown woman now. You got a woman up. Well, Katria, my brother and friend.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any commentaries before we go on anything, and especially what's going on in Wisconsin, Kenosha?
My prayers are out there for our people, young brothers, young sisters, Israelite families that are under this oppression. We read yesterday how we, you know, have to cry out to Yah because we have no way of really freeing ourselves from the misery that we're suffering, from the oppression that we're suffering. We're crying out to Yah, you know, not to forget us, to remember us, to have mercy on us. If not us, do it for the sake of our ancient fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and remember your promises to them that you will preserve their seed.
Remember your promise, Yah. Remember your promise.
Please, Yah.
Show us
continue
some mercy.
Send your guardian angels out there to protect our people who are trying to walk this righteous path. And have mercy on the families that are suffering now because of the war that's going on and our children being shot. So my heart goes out to the family of Jacob Blake.
Exactly.
It's ironic that his name is Jacob. He got shot in the back 7 times, point blank, and the Most High allowed him to live, even though he's maybe paralyzed for life. But Yah does miracles. He may be able to walk one day again. But the fact that he got shot point blank 7 times, I think that the vibration of the name Yaakov and Mosai's mercy might have saved him.
Yeah, because like I said, when his father was praying, he wasn't praying to Allah. He had his heart open, and he was praying to Yah. He was praying what sounded like me was a Hebrew prayer. And I was quite impressed, to say the least. Well,
guardian angel looking over Al for us. Guardian angel, Mr. Al. But there was another young brother in Missouri that got shot 11 times in the back.
Did he pass? Oh, man. You know, I heard Attorney Crump was talking about somebody. I think he said Lafayette, Louisiana. As a matter of fact, Cottrell.
Louisiana, that's right. Lafayette, Louisiana. That's where it's at.
I'm going to tell you, the Most High was with me. Because in that place, I was working after a hurricane. I used to do work, you know, like I always come up to, you know, environmental cleanup. And I was drinking quite heavily. And one of the guys that was working with me kind of got incensed at the little restaurant bar we was in because I was buying the white couple. You know, we was friends. I was buying them a drink and whatnot, you know. And he got angry with me. Why you ain't buying? I said, Coach, you didn't ask. You got money like I got money. I'm just trying to be nice to the folks. What did you say? And so the guy left and left me there. And so I called Richard, the guy, the white guy, supervisor, and told him to send somebody up there to get me. He sends the guy back up there. So I'm full of that Jack Daniel, and I ain't feeling him. Why are you going to send the same guy that I had conflict with? So Richard is in the bar. This is in, I think, Lafayette, Louisiana, a real racist place. And he's in this white bar, and all somebody was there that was black, was so-called black, was me and another brother. And Richard in there with all the white folks. And I got a temper, bro. That's why, you know. And so I went in there and I said, hey, man, why you send that guy back to pick me up, man? You should have sent somebody else. You know, and I snapped on him, man. And he said, so-and-so about the folks. I said, F all these folks in this bar. I don't care about none of them. I get up with all of them. And ain't nothing what I'm telling. So the brother that was in there, he walked me on back to the hotel. Come on, he said, come on, Ron. Come on, let's go back. And believe you me, they sent me back on that midnight train express to Memphis. Because I wonder what was going on, Cartrell. So, you know, I like I said, I had a bit of Jack Daniel, and Jack Daniel does not work for me. It works on me.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know what I did to the guy, you know, but I was getting ready to get up that morning, go to work with everybody. It's about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. And the crew said, you ain't going. I said, what you mean I ain't going? They said, well, you got to talk to Richard. I went around there and talked to Richard. I said, what's up, man? How come I ain't going out with the crew? He said, you put your hand on me, buddy. That's what you, hey, man. You know, that's post-traumatic stress, man. You know, white folks like me and try to get up with me, man. You know, I'm sorry. Things like that happen. I was dealing with post-traumatic stress, bro. But at that point, juncture, I didn't realize what it was. So after, you know, when you start going to AA and everything, they tell you to go through your history and do a catalog of the things that happened to you in your life. And why do you feel that you got to challenge authority when it comes to white men and whatnot? You get along with white women relatively good. And so doing the catalog of my life, going back through my life, I come across the incident at 17 years old in the Marine Corps, where two white drill instructors reached out and touched me in a good way. They put their hands on me, buddy. And so it's one thing, you don't realize you're traumatized. And it's just something at 17 years old, you just suck it up and you suck it in, but you don't realize it alters your course of life, how you deal with white men. So from that point on, how I deal with white fellas, if they act threatening or I perceive them to be a threat, I handle them accordingly. And so, and I know what those little boys going to go through being traumatized. I didn't realize it was post-traumatic stress syndrome until I went to a psychologist. And he said, you got a bad case. You've been at it for years because you ain't really seeked out no help for it. And you were medicating yourself because it started, your acting out started in the Marine Corps. You started acting out when you put your finger in that captain's face, a white captain's face. And you don't know, enlisted man would ever do that. And you said, man, I'm sick of you. I'm sick of Marine Corps. I'm sick of this base. And you know, I was the last corporal. They bust me down to PFC. And the colonel said, Kilbrew, you got a zipperary record before you come in, but things are built up in you over the course of time. From boot camp to about 2 years later, it had built up to Mount Vesuvius. So I was just holding this stuff in. And but it had to come out sooner or later. And so he said, you got a good zipperary record and whatnot, and now you're just acting out. You ain't taking care of yourself. When you go off base, you're gone for the whole 2 days. You don't come back till you go back on duty. And when you come back, you're leaning sideways. He said, but you got a good record before you come in and Camp Lejeune, and when you were your first duty station. I said, I didn't know what was happening. He said, what's wrong? I said, I don't know, Colonel. He said, well, I'm going to take some pay and rank from you. I'm going to bunch you down from Lance Corporal prior first class. He said, but I want you to stay with us, and you got to straighten up. I said, no, sir, I ain't no straighten up. He said, well, now, here's how the Most High blessed me. He said, I tell you what, Kimberly, since you got a good record, I ain't going to dirty you up. You say you don't know what's going on with you. I accept that. White fella. And he said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you an honorable discharge on the speedy conditions. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to take you your last year and a half that you owe us and put it on your backside on your reserve, okay? So if we need you, if we have to need you for anything, we ain't going to call you up for 2 years on your reserve. We're going to call you up for 3.5 years. I said, when the next plane leaving going to Memphis? So I understand traumatization. I understand how things can affect you. And I understand how people mentally, when they're youth and they're inexperienced, they hold things back. Because as of now, I'm described as post-traumatic stress. Because like I said, the first time a white man put his hand on me was not to show any expression of concern or pity or love, would beat the brakes off me. And so understand that there was some resentment and bitterness. And still is today. When you affect young people like that. You know, I was nothing but a boy. I just turned 16. October, I turned 16. December, I'm in the Marine Corps. I was nothing but a boy. I wasn't no man. And so, yeah, that traumatized me. And I can imagine, contrary to other listeners, that those babies are traumatized. I mean, I can imagine. And they ain't going to be feeling no police. I can tell you that now. Especially no white police. I'm going to tell you that now. Contrary, any comments, brother?
My perspective is that the police got the problem with being traumatized by our people.
Exactly.
Why are you killing brothers, shooting them in the back? They used to call that cowardice. They don't have
exactly.
a gun. They're not threatening you. I ain't never seen nothing like it in my lifetime.
Yeah, me neither, bro.
Putting their knee in brothers' necks till they can't breathe and they die. Just rolling up on brothers, throwing them on the ground and shooting them. I've never seen,
back.
I mean, because of the effect of technology, we got people with video
yeah.
phones.
Yeah, they've been doing it
more
all
of what
yeah.
really goes
they've
on.
Been we just
but I think
that
the problem really
yeah.
lies with them as opposed to us, because
yeah.
we are people of peace until you start pushing on us and
right.
Pushing us in the corner.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just out of hand right now. What's the fear that you have of us that you keep shooting our young brothers down in the street unarmed? What's the fear?
Exactly.
What you're fearing? They must see that we lions in the midst of them, like the Most High said.
I wonder why I became the center of these two white drill instructors' attention. They used to make me, man, they did me a favor, though, because they used to make me do push-ups all the time, come up and side and mountain climbers, you know, and push-ups, but it got me built up, though. But I tell you what, they just took an intense dislike for me for no reason, you know. And it accumulated into them. They going to take me into the bathroom and tell her, Kilbrew, tell us which one of us hit the hardest. How I'm going to tell you that? Well, I found out later that I was the test subject, okay? So, like I said, I can understand being traumatized. I can understand it very well. Well, Cartrell, my brother and friend, let's get ready to get out of here. May the Most High bless you.
The Most High bless you, my brother. And my prayers go out to the families of those that have been slain in this land.
Truth be told, Cartrell, and I concur with you. Our prayers go out to the ones, not only Jacob, Yaqub, Blake, but all of us, all of ours. And you know what? One thing that struck me about what that mother said, Cartrell, now, whether it's a sister, she says, this has been happening to my people, my family, all the time. And she said, Emmett Till was my family. Man, I was impressed. I said, whoa, that girl deep.
I was in tears.
Yeah, man.
She said,
come on.
I'm tired of crying.
Yeah.
You know, she's upset. She's like, no more tears. We need change now because this is just it's like regular with y'all. Every other day we getting shot.
Well, what made me tearful when the daddy started talking, he broke up. My eyes got tearful. You know, it's hard to see a grown man cry because I'm gonna tell you. Grown men just don't cry like that. They got to really be hurt. And they don't really do cry for themselves, hardly. They cry for somebody else, someone they love. And so to see that brother cry like that, and see that mother in anguish, them sisters in anguish, their young sisters, yeah, it brought tears to my eyes. I'm going to keep it real, okay? So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and a sister that looked like him. She brought out a lot of emotions because she was tight with him. And he's a good man. He got children. He wasn't running from the police. He went to the car, opened up the door. They could have chased him.
Yeah,
they could have
but the call was for him. The call was for two women fighting. He stopped the fight. What you stopping me for?
Right. He walked away.
Yeah. And you got the man on the ground. And what you stopping me for? I'm not the one fighting, man. If two ladies was fighting, I stopped them from fighting, and I'm finna leave. I don't want to rap, man. You can't make me stay here. That man got rights. Then somebody scream, knife! Then shoot the man seven times in the back. Come on, man. Stop.
Somebody scream what?
Somebody say he had a knife.
A knife.
Yeah, I ain't seen or hear no tale of no knife. But that's a lie been told, okay? But like the mama said and the daddy said, Attorney Crump said, when you try to assassinate us, then you try to assassinate our character. But you ain't got nothing to say about that brother, because that brother ain't did nothing.
That's right.
But
and
the fact that
he went there to be a peacemaker to break up two women, sure the cop had the assumption when they got the call that it was a domestic dispute that he was involved some way.
Jesus, man, I just stopped the fight, man. I'm gone. I ain't got nothing to do with this, bro. I stopped the fight. You need to talk to them ladies. I ain't got nothing to do with it, man. I just try to do my duty as a man and stop these sisters from scuffling and whatnot. I'm around. I'm gone, man. I ain't got nothing to do with this. You better come back here. If you don't come back here, I'm going to shoot your ass. Basically, that's what they did. I mean, Coach, why you? The man ain't got no gun. What you drawing your? All y'all got y'all guns out on that man for?
It's the fear of
I mean, you can't talk. I've been the victim of that. I know that feeling. Cop tell me, get on the ground. Nigga, I kill you. I say, I ain't your nigga. And I ain't getting on no ground, partner. I understand the rage that brother felt. And then this cop, he runs up to me, because I guess I must have shocked the hell out of him. He runs up to me, try to mace me. You know, I'm always about defensive. So when his hand comes around my right side to mace me, I throw my hand up, the mace hit my hand, bounce off in his face, and he can't even see. I said, I ought to knock the hell out of you. And I hit that cone. And man, they had to look at all the police in Memphis, Tennessee look at me. And I ran to a partner of mine, probably to kill him. You got to roll, man. You got to roll. You know, because they looking for you. Man, look like all the police in Memphis, Tennessee look at me. So I called one of my sisters, because we ride or die. Like I said, we big in numbers, but we tight. Called one of my baby sisters. I said, look at you, you got to come. I can't get to the vehicle. I said, you got to get to me. And I said, bring a blanket. So my sister rolls up, said, bro, I'm out of here. I dive up in the car and put a blanket on me. And I remember I messed with my niece now. She was about four or five at that time. And she said, Mama, Mama, what Uncle Ron doing under that blanket? My sister said, shut up, Kier. I said, Rose, it's a Rose. Man, and them folks that had caught me, man, it'd have been something ugly, okay? Something real ugly. And that was late 90s, country, yeah? Late 90s, maybe 1997. So like I said, wow. Young Super, yeah.
Yeah, so young, I mean, it's like open season on young brothers and sisters.
Is that?
I mean, like, they care more about Baz than they do about our young brothers.
Exactly. And I empathize with them. I empathize because I've had a lot of interaction. And truth be told, I'm not going to be, for the most part, predominantly, the interaction was not constructive or positive. They were toxic. But then there were occasions because, I have a gift for gab, and I've been pulled over by the police, and I know I was dead to the wrong. I was polite to the officer. He said, hey, you know you've been drinking a little bit. I said, yes, sir. I'm headed on to the house. He said, no, you ain't. What you finna do, you finna pull over, and you're going to lay down, get you some sleep, because if I catch you on the road again, I'm taking you on down. Now, you know me. I faked the fuzzy. Yes, sir, officer. I'm doing exactly what you're going to say. Man, as soon as I waited about 30, 40 minutes, an hour, I ain't seeing, man, I balled on off, okay? Went to where I was going. But so, like I said, I've had constructive and positive interaction with police officers, but they were few and far in between. And I've had mostly, predominant of them were toxic and poisonous. And a lot of the interaction I brought on myself, too. So truth be told, they sometimes you got to know when to shut up, know when to exercise your rights, and that's in a courtroom, and know when to keep your mouth shut. And so I learned over the course of the years, hey, man, just be polite and follow the rules. And I've said I've been polite and followed the rules, man. They had their hands on their guns on a traffic stop like I was a serial killer. And like I said, bro, and there was no call for that. I mean, put your hands on your gun. This is a traffic stop, dog. Why you got your hand on your gun? And why you call backup? Why is street police officers out there and y'all looking at me like I'm a serial killer? I can understand. I can empathize with our brothers and sisters. I've been there, done that. Any closing remarks, Coach?
You're talking about the past. They're ramping it up,
right.
Especially the people that's in power. Donald Trump,
exactly.
I mean, he's talking about chaos in the cities, and he's causing it. He wants to send federal troops into tear gas.
He wants
with rubber bullets.
Right. Now, Peter called, because I checked out I watch everything. I'm cognizant. I try to be cognizant of everything in Contrail and listeners. And I watch the Democrats, and I watched that woman from Puerto Rico. And this woman, I look at her, this woman, I like, she crazy. They made a change. And I said, man, what is she saying? And look at bro. I couldn't stand too much of them lies. I think I watched about two of them. I could barely handle the Democrats, but these Republicans, man, they are like they own something. And then Trump coming there, he's lying. He giving up. Man, I said, man, what is these folks? Man, what is wrong with these folks? They lying.
They're delusional.
Yeah, they're
creating a toxic environment in this country. And we better be prepared because these cops will shoot us and ask questions later.
And because he ain't sent out no dog whistle. He sent out, he got a bullhorn. Do what you do, baby. Do what you do. Then he had, them folks on, I think, I don't know what it was from, country, and the couple. And I was looking at the woman's hand. I said, woman, your hand on your nose, you got a big old demon hand. And I watched the dude, and they just talk like that. Well, folks came in our community, and we had to arm ourselves. They were a threat to our very existence. I said, man, look at these folks here. You guys have been a threat to our very existence since you brought us here. You've been a threat to the very existence of the Native Americans. You've been a threat to the very existence of the so-called Mexican Americans, You've been affecting the very existence of so-called Japanese Americans. You've been affecting the very existence of so-called Chinese Americans. And you got the audacity to say that we are a threat to your very existence. Man, I would like the boy at home alone. I had my ears over, my hands over my ears and my mouth over, like Home Alone, that little boy. I'm going to tell you. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Cartrell.
Oh, yeah. You're going to see some unbelievable, more unbelievable things, bro.
Truth be told, only just begun. Just the tip of the iceberg. All right, listeners. All right, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother. May the Most High bless you, listeners.
God bless you, bro.
Thank you very much, bro. Hey, listeners, you've been with a power-packed show, a show that discussed the Word of the Most High, and a show that discussed just simple interactions of human nature as far as us in this society. You found out about solutions through the Word of the Most High. You found out you must apply yourself in every aspect of the Word. Not only in regards to, you should be concerned about your brothers and sisters too. You shouldn't become numb, as the sister indicated. She's quite right. Yakub Blake's sister. You shouldn't become numb with this and become, just like the father said, an everyday occurrence. We come to expect this. Yes, we should expect it, but we never should lack it, and we never should become numb to it. And as Cartrell indicated, listeners, let us all gather together tonight, face toward the east, lift our hands up in prayer, and ask the Most High to have mercy. Under the covenant that you have with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, under the covenant that you have with King David, under the covenant that you have with us, we can't take this no more. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. All right, Cartrell, my brother and friend. All right, listeners, we tired. Let's get it. Hey, look, Gregory, you think I forgot you, brother? How you doing? You doing all right? You listen to your EMA? All right, you be a good boy. Now, you know, you get in trouble. Now, you know, your EMA going to tell Granny, and Granny going to tell us, and we're going to talk to you. We're going to talk to you, okay? But you know we love you. Like we love you, because you are our kind. You us. You belong to us. We belong to you. You family. All of you little brothers and sisters out there, you family too. You belong to us. We belong to you. Cartrell, what's your closing remarks? Cartrell, I guess you cut your mic off.
I'm afraid to make any closing remarks because if I do, you're probably going to half an hour spill again.
All right, mate. Man, go on. Stop it, Cartrell. Stop it, man. Stop it, man. No, don't do me like that, man. Don't leave me hanging. Okay. Don't leave me hanging, Cartrell.
Nah, we love our young brothers and sisters out there. We have to be wise. We have to be intelligent. We have to move with the spirit of the Most High. And the closer we get to the Most High, the more we're going to be protected, you know, from all adversity that's out there. Most High, in the chapter that we read in Habakkuk, the last chapter, we know what's coming, and we have to be like Habakkuk. Just be prepared, because we know what's coming. Yah's about to put vengeance and anger and stir things up in the earth like he's never done before. But we know what's coming, so we have to brace ourselves with the wisdom that we're attaining. So be strong, be of good courage, trust in Yah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's simple. Don't make this hard. Well, listeners, I don't know where you're going, but you're finna get ready to get out of here. May the Lord God bless you. May he order and direct your steps. Why? Because your thinkers are broken, as mine. We're not quite capable of directing and ordering our steps. Pray that the Most High direct and order yours. And if you need a new thinker, your king, King Dawood, he knew he needed a new thinker. He was humble enough, and you should be humble enough too. That's for one. It's just that simple. Understand your shortcomings. Go to the Most High in prayer. Confess. Get your new thinker that works for you and not on you. May the Most High bless you. We love you. And I'm going to play this lovely song for us, all of us. I think you will enjoy this song. It's quite, what's the word I'm looking for? Appropriate for what's going on. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom. Good night.
Everybody thinks we're wrong, but a mother, are they to judge us? Mother, mother, simply call us sweet where I am. Oh, mother, mother, woo.